Well, a very powerful episode of Spotlight last night. If you want to listen to the whole thing, you can go to thegreatvoice.com. But April is Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and Maria Osborne, WJR's Director of Community Affairs and News, talk to somebody that WJR listeners may be familiar with about what happened to them.
Yeah, he was a colleague of ours here at WJR, Ryan Schmelz. He's now with Live Now Fox. He's an anchor there and a digital journalist. A couple of facts about Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Nearly every minute, someone in the U.S. is sexually assaulted. Every 9 minutes, that someone's a child. And 1 in 6 men experience sexual abuse before turning 18. So I was privileged to have this conversation with Ryan about his experience. He told me he was in 5th grade when he began to experience sexual abuse from a family friend, someone his family knew, his parents trusted. It first started with uncomfortable touching, and then it grew into sexual contact.
It was the age when you go through puberty. It's the age when you start getting exposed to sex for the first time and then start having those thoughts. And so it definitely complicated my life story when I was going through a time in life that's very confusing just in general for many adolescents.
He was abused from the time he was in 5th grade to high school. He finally was able to tell an adult about the abuse, and that led to him getting some help.
Talking about it was probably actually a very hard part because, yeah, I didn't really know how to go about opening up to people about this and talking to friends and family about it. And mm-hmm. It's very awkward to talk about. I've lost friends in my life in very graphic ways, very traumatic ways, murder, you name it. I find talking about death a lot easier than talking about this.
His advice for parents who are looking for signs their children might be in trouble?
If your child has a friend that they've always been close with, but all of a sudden they start to not want to be around that person or be alone with that person the way they used to, it would behoove you to look into that.
He says he only came forward a couple of years ago because he knew he was not alone. He came out publicly, I should say. In fact, the more he goes public with this story, the more men have come forward to him and said, I'm 1 in 6.
And the stigma is attached to male sexual abuse victims, maybe not feeling like I knew where to go and the resources I needed. I felt like it was, okay, maybe, if you can reach the one person out there, this will be worth it.
And Mike, the stigma that's attached to young men who've experienced this, it's horrible when sexual abuse happens to any child, girl or boy. But there's this added layer with boys in that, Ryan said to me, he said, for some reason, boys feel like, I should have been tougher.
Right. Right, because, especially at that age where you're still trying to figure out who you are, if you're a young boy, you got to be tough, you got to be strong. And I think admitting that you were victimized, you feel people are going to look at you the opposite way.
Well, and then the show last night, the Spotlight show that we had last night, we also spoke to a person from Care House in Oakland County where they help with interviewing children who've been abused. They help with law enforcement and with prosecutors and all of this when they're bringing a case. But one of the things they told me was that especially with boys, there's, because it's often same-sex abuse, they wonder, well, am I gay?
Right.
And not before they even have an idea of who they are at all.
Right.
So there's all that tangled up in all of it.
Yeah, wrestling with your identity from 5th grade through high school is tough enough without somebody coming in and victimizing you and throwing more things into confusion.
Right. And that's what Ryan talks about. There are many signs, by the way, he mentioned the one there about if your child suddenly doesn't mm-hmm. want to hang with certain people, you might want to ask about that. But he said there are a lot of signs. In fact, some professionals in this area tell me there's 30 signs that parents can look for. So there's a lot of info out there on this.
Yeah, and a couple of things that he said struck me. It was a family friend of his.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The majority, from what I understand, the majority of these assaults, it's not just being assaulted in a dark alley by
it's
a stranger.
It's not stranger danger.
Someone you invite into the home. And I think, you know, you often hear when a sexual abuse survivor comes out, people say, well, why did they wait so long? And of course, you know, they've got to grapple with the guilt. They've got to grapple with the stigma and the shame that they feel. But also, I think for a lot of people who are assaulted, it takes them a while to realize and come to terms and say, wow, that was assault. I mean, I think back to the Larry Nassar case. A lot of the survivors who came forward didn't come forward till they heard other people's stories and said, that happened to me. I just thought that he was doing just regular medical procedures because, you know, it's often subtle. It's often, you know, there's grooming that happens over a long period of time till you don't even they make it seem normal. And you don't even know you're being victimized.
That's key. They normalize it through grooming. And that is absolutely the key here. Ryan talked about it as well in depth in our interview, talking about how, you know, it was just, you know, he gains trust. A person will gain trust with the child and then the family. And it's just a whole elaborate scheme to get at these children. And that, in turns, helps the child bury that deep in their psyche.
Right.
And it does take a long time. But you know what happens along the way? Then along the way, they have relationship problems.
Yep.
They have drug or alcohol problems. They have problems finding employment. All these things can be traced back to some form of abuse oftentimes.
Yeah. And, you know, people like Ryan who have a platform, who are, you know, of note that people know him. I understand people not wanting to speak out about something like this. I mean, it's a very personal thing to deal with. You cope the way you want to cope. But, you know, if you can find the strength and bravery to speak out, number one, not only do you help people who feel alone, but it was right there in the report. He gave actual advice on what to look for if you think your child's being victimized. And that's so valuable for both people just feeling like they're not alone and parents be like, you know what, that does seem kind of weird. I'm going to look into it.
Right. And we talked to Care House. They're one of those places where you can go to where they will help you to understand if your child's been abused and how to get the information from your child. Also, a trusted counselor at a school. Often a trusted clergy member can be of help and assistance to you in this to find out to get the help that you need for your child and your family.
Once again, if you want to listen to the whole thing, Marie's entire interview with both Ryan Schmelz and the folks at Care House, it's up at thegreatvoice.com. It'll be on the front page. Marie, great information, and I'm sure that you amplifying Ryan's message has helped and saved a lot of people.
We certainly hope so.
Listen to Focus on WJR.